Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado with a distinctively biblical worldview. And we've taken a hard right from a system of education that denies the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom. That was back in the 1960s. And we have rejected the system of education that requires indoctrination into homosexuality and the embracing of an autonomous ethic that does not submit itself to the laws of God. And that, my friends, is the official indoctrination brought to your average public school around the United States. And for that reason, we have decided to give our children a distinctively Christian education in the home. God's word says to teach your children my words as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. Something that's integrated into their life such that it's like a frontlet between their eyes, and they don't leave their frontlet at home while they go to school and study their history and their science. It's got to be something more integrated into their life. This is the life that God expects in the covenant home of the Christian parents that are to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This is what God has commanded for Christian homes, and this is not something that is upheld by the average public school, especially those schools that submit themselves to the Supreme Court of the United States that have outlawed any kind of prayer, thanksgiving, or fear of God in American public school classrooms. Well, now the U.S. Department of Education is demanding public schools call students by their preferred pronoun. Now, this is somewhat of a shock to the system of conservatives who thought Betsy DeVos, the new department head of the Department of Education of the United States, would give us something better than this. Evidently, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights have issued a memo as of June 6 to teachers in public schools warning that a refusal to address students with their preferred pronoun could trigger a federal investigation. When we say preferred pronoun, that means if a little boy wants to be called a she or if a little girl wants to be called a he, then they must be referred to by their preferred pronoun. And if they're not going to do so, they will most likely trigger something of a federal investigation. Now, this all came about because Betsy DeVos, who is a conservative Christian appointed to head the Department of Education, Betsy DeVos has appointed a lesbian to head up the Office of Civil Rights. And Steve, this is the absolute worst possible situation because the Office of Civil Rights is in charge of imposing homosexual indoctrination upon the public schools across America. Or that is what they have taken upon themselves over the last several years. And so Betsy DeVos could have appointed somebody different, but instead she appointed an avowed lesbian who apparently has been living with her quote unquote married wife for some 10 years now. So here we have Candace Jackson appointed to head up the Office of Civil Rights by Betsy DeVos. And this woman is an avowed lesbian. Now, what gives here? I thought we were going to get something different from Betsy DeVos.
Well, we always think that we're going to get something different. We thought we were going to get something different with John Roberts, and we didn't. So,
that's a surprise.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's a surprise to me. Because
everybody hated her.
They did.
And they were trying to get her out of this nomination even, and now she's given them something that they wanted.
And Candace Jackson, from the beginning, had committed herself to a very, very pro-LGBT agenda for the public schools in America. And so, you put a fox right smack in the middle of the hen house. You put Candace Jackson, this lesbian, right in the middle of the Department of Education in the Office for Civil Rights to be the one in charge of looking out for Title IX regulations and so forth. Jackson has reaffirmed that schools should be looking out to Title IX regulations and court decisions and the Office for Civil Rights guidance documents for direction. Apparently, it's all pro-LGBT. That's the point, is she says, follow the rules set out by the courts, by Title IX regulations and so forth. And so she's imposing upon the public schools the following through on this LGBT agenda. Jackson's instructions assert that the federal government, through the Office of Civil Rights, can launch an investigation if a school fails to assess whether gender-based harassment has created a hostile environment for transgender students. Jackson includes this statement, included in Title IX regulations, that refusing to use a transgender student's preferred pronoun when the school uses preferred names for gender-conforming students amounts to a violation of Title IX. So, again, my friends, this is what is going on in the Department of Education. I think the best thing that DeVos can do is to downsize the Department of Education, because the department itself has become a tyranny. The department itself, the bureaucracy itself, has become the fourth arm of government, as you know.
Yeah.
And it operates effectively outside of the executive branch. And you know it will. Why? Because it's just too big to manage.
it's just, it's out of control. And it goes from one administration to the next. And my guess is that, I don't know what percentage, but anywhere between 90% and 98% of the bureaucracy is not going to be replaced from one administration to the next. Are you with me here?
Yes.
And if that be the case, Steve, then of course the bureaucracy is going to carry on its merry way to impose the same liberal agenda that it has concocted over the previous several administrations.
Yeah. And if you take a look at the history of the Department of Education, I think it was started by Jimmy Carter. And so it hasn't always been around. In fact, you could just get rid of it. Schools were fine before they had the Department of Education. They would be fine without it.
The bureaucracy itself has become a tyranny. And why, if you look at the charts as to the growth of the Department of Education, which, by the way, is one of the very, very worst departments that the federal government has ever come up with. Why? Because it, again, is a governmental approach to centralizing control over education and controlling what goes on the education of 150 million children across America, and thereby fulfilling the requirement that Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Karl Marx, and others have imposed upon governments. That governments will bring free public education to all as part of the socialist communist agenda. So of course, the very worst thing that happens is the establishment of a Department of Education and the further aggrandizement of it by the increase of the budget. And that's what we see with George W. Bush taking the Department of Education's budget from, get this, $40 billion to $110 billion adjusted for 2017 dollars.
Yeah, can't have any children left behind.
Well, George W. Bush increased it from $40 billion to $110 billion.
Yeah.
Guess how much Barack Obama increased the budget over the period of 8 years?
I have no idea.
None.
Wow.
Yeah. So it takes a Republican. To tyrannize a nation.
Yeah.
As George W. Bush did. So George W. Bush increased the size of the bureaucracy from $40 billion a year to $110 billion a year. We'll see what President Donald Trump and Betsy DeVos will do for the department. I think the best thing they can do is downsize and fire tens of thousands of people.
That would be a good thing.
That's the best thing that they can do. Some states, by the way, are running faster into the homosexual indoctrination program. And so what will happen, well, will be if they remove the control that the federal Department of Education has over the local districts, over the local state departments, and remove all of this matching fund stuff and all of the control that federal funds has over over all these individual districts by way of Title IX donations and Title IX regulations, then we will see a little more decentralization and self-rule amongst the individual school districts and the individual state departments of education. So I think the decentralization is a good move. It's about the best move that Betsy DeVos can make. And the end result will be there will be some decent states. There will be some states in which there will not be a heavy duty homosexual indoctrination program imposed, and other states in which the homosexual indoctrination programs will be imposed with great ardor and support. And that's, I think, what we're going to see across this country. In other words, states like Texas, Kansas, Nebraska will be better than states like Colorado, California, Oregon, and Washington. That's what I'm saying, is some states will be better than others. And so good families, Christian families, will move out of some states and they will move to other states. And we may actually somehow be able to salvage some kind of Christian values over the next 15 to 20 years. Be back with more on the Generations broadcast. We're going to talk about this preferred pronoun thing and what's going on in American public schools in just a moment.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. As the Department of Education under Betsy DeVos is imposing, encouraging, pressing individual school districts to require that the districts use the preferred pronouns that individual students require be used of them. In other words, if there are young men, if there are boys who want to be referred to as she, they must be referred to as she by the administration according to Title IX requirements, because so many of these colleges, universities, and K-12 schools are taking something of the $110 billion of government funds from the federal government. And if the federal government funds your program, then the federal government controls your program. And that applies to just about every Christian college. That applies to just about every university and K-12 school around the country. Well, Steve, this preferred pronoun thing applies, I guess, even to Christian colleges, at least those that agree to submit to the Title IX requirements.
Yeah, and you just got to follow the money. The government, if they give money, they're going to want to control, just like what you said. But what I think it was Michigan that instituted this not that long ago, where when you enrolled in the school, they would ask you to give your preferred pronoun, and there were like 40 or 50 different ones that on the list.
Oh, no.
And then you could come up with your own if you wanted to. And one bright young man decided to place in there Your Majesty as his preferred pronoun.
Okay.
So he wanted all of his teachers to call him Your Majesty.
I see. Uh-huh. And, how did that work out?
I haven't heard any more from that,
okay.
But he said he'd complain
but
if they didn't.
But that's his preferred pronoun.
Yeah, Your Majesty.
Okay. All right. Well, again, silliness, of course.
Yeah.
Utter silliness, irrationality in American public education. Of course, God's given them up to perverse minds, in which their minds themselves are perverted and corrupted, such that complete ignorance, irrationality, and insanity effectively rule in American education today. And the problem here, of course, is once you start accommodating a sin for one child, the whole school will figure it out. And this is the reason why this makes it even worse for families who are sending their kids to public schools. Again, we can make a list of 1,000 reasons not to send your kids to the average public school in America. But again, this is another reason, friends, because once you start accommodating a sin for one child, the whole school begins to figure it out. It sends a message to the kids. If one boy gets to cross dress, if one boy gets to walk around nude in the playground because that's his identity, you know, one boy, one 10-year-old boy says, I've got to walk around nude because my identity is a noble savage of the 1830s in New Guinea.
Yeah.
That's my identity. So, and I want to be referred to as nude from now on. If one boy gets to walk around nude in the playground because that's his sinful bent, or if one boy gets to cross dress because that's his sinful bent, if one girl gets to steal from other kids' lockers or whatever commandment's being broken here, the word will get around that the school officially approves of that sin. And this, my friends, trains all of the children in the school to sin. This teaches the children that sin's okay. It sends the message that sin's okay to the rest of the 400 kids attending the K-12 school or the K-6 school. I think this is the first time, as far as I can remember, that the American schools are officially approving of some particular sin. Can you think of any other time in history in which American schools officially approved, blatantly approved, of a dye-in-the-wool sin?
Not that I can remember.
I can't think of one. I think this is the first time in American history that American schools are officially approving of sin. If a boy gets to cross-dress, if a boy wants to cross-dress, if he wants to walk around nude in the playground, he can because that's his identity. I think this is the first time that American schools are officially approving sin and sending a message to the entire school population that sin is okay, or this particular sin is okay. Sometimes teachers take God's name in vain, but I'm not sure they do so with the official approval of the United States Department of Education. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Sometimes teachers talk about living with their boyfriends or girlfriends, And I'm not sure they always do so with the official approval of the United States Department of Education. There's also an incipient breaking of the First Commandment, but it's an incipient. It's not so much blatant that the Department of Education is informing by memo that all 100,000 schools in America must break the First Commandment in a blatant way. Of course, there is dishonor of God. There's no fear of God. There's no thanksgiving to God. The primacy of man is presented in almost every classroom. And for that reason, we have again and again warned parents that, generally speaking, American schools violate the First Commandment and do not allow for the fear of God, the worship of God, and thanksgiving to God to happen in the science classroom. And that's a reason not to send your kids to these public schools. But it's not quite as blatant as what we're seeing right now for the Department of Education. The result of all of this, of course, is going to be more sin. Kids are not going to hear the gospel in public schools. That's a given. We know that. They're not going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross for our sins and rising again on the third day in American public school classrooms as the most important fact in all of human history. That's not going to be taught in the history classrooms. So we know that kids are not going to hear the gospel in general in public schools, except for an occasional Christian teacher that will eventually get fired for her pains. But the result of this is that there will be more sin about our kids, about those kids that attend this school, whether it be kids from nice little evangelical families or average American families send their kids to these schools, and they learn about how wonderful it is to cross-dress and how wonderful it is to break one specific law of God. But the schools now have become the means by which they will promote more sin in our society big time. And remember, in the past, it's been the kids in the playground that promote sin. It's been the kids in the playground that promote disrespect for parents, pornography, taking God's name in vain, homosexuality, lesbianism. We've had reports of, you know, junior high girls doing the lesbian thing in the hallways. So that kind of thing has been fairly common in America over the last 20, 30 years, maybe even a little further back. Peer influence has always been intense, and it's even getting more intense and worse today than ever. And so the kids in the playground have always promoted sin, encouraged sin amongst their peers. That's been pretty common. But now it's the teachers, it's the system, it's the Department of Education that is promoting more sin in American classrooms. And Steve, this may be a first in all of American history.
Yeah, and that gives you even more reason, Christian parents, to pull your kids out because they will be indoctrinated by this. It's just a simple matter of time. How much time are they spending in the classroom versus how much time they're being influenced by you?
I think of the verse Proverbs 13:20, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." See, that's precisely what's going on in American public school classrooms. Where there is bad peer influence, where there is a bad administration bringing policies from Betsy DeVos and her Office of Civil Rights into every tiny little American public school across the states, where this is going on, the companion of fools will be destroyed. The companion of fools will be destroyed, but he that walks with wise men shall be wise. That's so fundamental to education, Steve. I mean, that's so fundamental. Yeah. That's why we encourage children to stay with their parents and not be taught by their peers throughout the days.
Yeah, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, and the schools do not fear God. So you're not going to get wisdom in the schools anyway. You're going to be companioning with a bunch of fools.
But of course, it's not just the schools. It's also the pop culture and families that think they're doing just fine when they come home and they sit around and enjoy pop culture and give their children full access to the internet, YouTube, and so forth. Kids crowd around the YouTube way more than they used to crowd around the television sets, or way more than they gather around the television sets today, because they're not watching television, they're watching YouTube. Here's an article from the BBC on the disturbing YouTube videos that are tricking children. Apparently, there are thousands and thousands of videos on YouTube that look like versions of popular cartoons, but contain disturbing and inappropriate content not suitable for children. And this is so common today, in which children are lured into YouTube, and there isn't a rating system on YouTube. There is no real control as to what happens on the internet. It may not just be YouTube, it may be other portals as well. But BBC Trending has found hundreds of videos of children's cartoon characters with inappropriate themes. In addition to Peppa Pig, there are Disney movie Frozen, Minions franchise, Thomas the Tank Engine, many, many more. Some of the videos are parodies of or have such over-the-top content that they're clearly meant for mature audiences. Others are unauthorized copies of authentic cartoons or use the characters in innocent ways, troubling to copyright lawyers, but not necessarily harmful to children. However, many contain disturbing content and can pass for the real cartoons, probably particularly when viewed by children. They feature animated violence, graphic toilet humor, and, of course, sexual content, adult sexual content associated with these Frozen characters, associated with Thomas the Tank Engine and other things. So now, see, I think I can understand what's going on here. These are probably college kids taking the kids' icons like Frozen characters or Peppa Pig and putting them into adult situations and then laughing at the whole thing. So, the college kids are doing this. And they're getting hundreds of millions of downloads on these things, by the way.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions.
And when that happens, they get paid for that.
In some cases, 200 plus million are watching these videos. That's over half the population of America. And my understanding is mostly kids watching these extremely perverted cartoons or real characters in which they are engaged in certain perversions, but they are doing so in the Frozen cartoon characters. So these things are very, very common today. But the question I'm asking here is, how does this differ from turning How to Train Your Dragon Hiccup's Mentor into a homosexual? See, it's again, it's the Pied Piper thing, starting with a children's story and using the sequels to take them down the road to Sodom. So the same things happen to How to Train Your Dragon and, of course, Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And now we see all this stuff on YouTube. And I think parents should be well aware of this sort of thing happening. Parents are oftentimes too naive. Even homeschool parents are allowing their children access to the internet in which children are unguarded. The children are able to access things that are far, far worse than ABC television. Would you agree that if yes. you had a choice between your child having unfettered access to ABC television or unfettered access to the internet, which would you choose?
It would be ABC television.
You got it. Yeah. Of course. Of course. Now, we don't want our children watching ABC television.
Right.
But the internet is far worse. The internet is far, far worse. YouTube far, far worse than ABC television, friends. All right, let's be sure that we're applying good discernment to our children's entertainment choices, because I think the parents that are saying, yes, there's a problem with these public schools, and yet they're not taking popular culture as seriously as they ought to, are falling into yet another trap. The Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 18, if you should stumble one of these least of these little ones that believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea. These are extremely, extremely severe words that come from our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to be sure that we're not stumbling the little ones, that we're watching out for them, we're caring for them. And this is one of the most important principles in terms of raising our kids and providing a right education for them. So before we even send them off to the K-6 schools, before we allow for them to be watching YouTube, before we do anything, let's remember that children are not prepared to be able to address the errors. Children are not prepared to address the transgender question. Children are not prepared to address the evolutionaries doctrine, the materialism, the anti-supernaturalism that is taught in the public school classrooms. And they certainly are not prepared to handle the pop culture that is being shared on the iPads, the iPhones, and so forth in the playgrounds. Let's be aware, my friends, that there is an enemy out there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And for the most part, they express themselves in the form of entertainment, pop culture, and so forth. And that's why I wrote the book, The Tattoo Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture, in which I encourage a high level of discernment for parents that allow their kids to watch television, YouTube, or movies. Be sure to get a copy of The Tattoo Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews and Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Independence Day, July 4th, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. In a session of the Continental Congress, the United States of America declared itself an independent nation on July 4th, 1776. Just before this, Congress called for a, quote, day of humiliation and fasting and prayer, unquote, throughout the colonies. The fathers of this nation called the people to mourn over, quote, their manifold sins and transgressions, and by a sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease God's righteous displeasure, and through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, obtain his pardon and forgiveness, unquote. Not surprisingly, the United States Congress has not followed suit with the proclamation this July 4th. Let us remember the message from Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The Pope of Rome and now the President of the United States have interceded for Charlie Gard, the 10-month-old baby boy soon to be taken off of life support by order of the British courts. His parents are seeking to bring the child to America for experimental treatment. Trump spoke up for our nation with a tweet saying, quote, we would be delighted to help, unquote. China's Netcasting Services Association is on a campaign to clean up the Chinese internet. The government agency is requiring the removal of pornography, videos depicting aberrant sexual practices like homosexuality, and religious extremism. However, they did not define what religious extremism might include. Only 10% of American homosexuals have taken advantage of the state and federal laws enabling marriage, and this rate has pretty much plateaued, according to a recent Gallup poll. That compares to about 69% of heterosexuals who get married in America. Less Americans overall are getting divorced, only because less Americans are getting married. Recent data released by the Centers for Disease Control reveal that the marriage rate in America has fallen by 1.3% in 15 years, while the divorce rate has fallen 0.9%. The Texas Supreme Court has denied spousal benefits to same-sex married couples who are government employees. The court claimed that the Obergefell decision did not speak to spousal benefits. Homosexuals plan to appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court, where they hope to receive more sympathy for their cause. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau marched in Toronto's Arrogant Homosexual March over the weekend. Trudeau also noted his support for the Islamic month of Ramadan. Prime Minister Trudeau has rejected the counsel of Proverbs 8:13. Which says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Methodist, Presbyterian, and Anglican church leaders joined in another march in Belfast, Northern Ireland, advocating for unnatural sexual relations between men and men, women and women, and even same-sex marriage. Out of the 15 Western European nations, Northern Ireland is the only nation still holding out against the sexual right, first advocated in the civilized world by the Roman Emperor Nero, who married two men, Pythagoras and Sporus. The states are radically split on abortion. Ohio Governor John Kasich signed a bill which provided $1 million of funding to pro-life pregnancy centers. At the same time, Oregon advanced a bill in the state house mandating insurance coverage for abortion. Only California requires abortion coverage for insurance plans presently. Average insurance premiums for families under Obamacare stand at $18,142. That compares with only $6,000 per year under Christian medical sharing ministries like SamaritanMinistries.org. Christians living in California and Oregon may still exempt themselves from pro-abortion insurance plans with SamaritanMinistries.org. By the way, mention Generations and the Worldview when you sign up. 70% of Americans now believe that civility has decreased in the nation since Donald Trump was elected president. That's 80% of Democrats and 65% of Republicans, according to the PBS NPR poll. Only 6% of Americans believe the tone has improved in Washington since last November. A coffee shop in Wilmington, North Carolina, has a very special mission. Biddy and Bo's Coffee is operated by 17 employees with intellectual and developmental disabilities. 2 years ago, the Wrights established the coffee shop. They are themselves the parents of two children with Down syndrome and wanted opportunities for people with disabilities, 70% of whom are unemployed. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, July 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.